Hey guys, welcome to Overcrest. I'm Chris.
You're not actually drinking pickle juice out of the jar, are you?
I am. Every time the pickles are gone, I drink the pickle juice.
Okay, right before we started recording, you go, hold on, I'm thirsty. I gotta go into the get something to drink.
Yes.
Which I assumed water, coffee,
soda. Well, I didn't want something carbonated.
And I didn't realize this until we started recording and I paid attention, that you're literally drinking pickle juice out of the jar.
I am. It is wonderful.
That is disgusting.
It's wonderful.
That is so disgusting.
I bet you 50% of our listeners drink pickle juice out of the jar.
I've never seen anyone do that before.
All right,
and I'm
putting
kind
it up as a Spotify poll. If you're on Spotify and you're listening,
concerned.
If you're on Spotify and you're listening, we're putting it up as a poll.
You're thirsty? This is your refreshing drink that you go to? This is your go-to?
Sodium. 290 milligrams of sodium.
I'm really thirsty. Yeah, that's terrible. That is not going to quench thirst.
Sodium is an electrolyte, Jake.
Yeah, it's also salt, how often do you get on me about salt? Okay, anyways, hey guys, welcome to Overcrest.
I'm Chris,
the pickle drinker, and I am
Pickle Man. It's good. You should try it.
Welcome.
Have you ever tried it? Here's the thing. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever had a dirty martini or something where they pour pickle juice?
Okay, well, that's
olive juice, isn't it?
It's not. Yeah, that's not pickle juice.
It's not.
Totally different. Totally different.
Oh, man. So here we are.
There is a drink with pickle juice, but regardless.
We're back. Have we ever been?
We're back.
Have we ever been gone? Dude, I have these little.
I don't think we were gone.
I have these Costco microfibers everywhere in the garage because they're so
cheap.
They
just exploded.
Oh, they're everywhere. I have these things.
But why don't you rip the tag off? You have to rip the tag off of them before you use them.
I don't use them for cars. I use them for garage, for cleaning up.
It gets in the way. Anytime I grab one of those, I also have a bunch of those, and I pull the tag every time.
Here's what bothered me. I have a huge problem with this. You know what else has tags on it that shouldn't, and you have to take them off every time?
You know what else grinds my gears?
Women's panties. There's nothing like having your wife put on a pair of sexy underwear, and they're sheer or lace
she
or whatever.
She should have taken the tag off first.
I know, but you're on a trip, and you're going to the hotel, and you're gonna have some fun,
trip.
Do whatever, and you go, oh, we're gonna stop at this place. You buy the thing.
Uh-huh.
She goes and changes, walks out, and there's a tag inside the, and you're just
again. That's a complaint you need to raise with her.
Ah,
I understand what you mean, but she should. Most of those tags actually are perforated and removable.
What did you just say?
They're perforated.
You mean perforated?
Perforated.
Perforated is
they're preferentially aided. Perforated.
That's the world. Okay, perforated. Tickets for the rally are done. We're full. We're over full. You know that if you fill up a glass of water. And you keep filling it up little by little by little. All of a sudden, it's over the top of the water.
Yeah, you get the surface tension.
And the only thing
that's
holding the water
it.
In is the surface tension of the water.
Right.
And it's
that's
like
where
above.
We're at.
That's where we're at. And
I don't want to. I want to stop, and I don't want to be too lighthearted about this because people are upset that they didn't get in, and I would be too.
I would be
but
too. I was thinking
me,
about how I would react. If this were me, I would be.
Yeah.
I would be pissed. I would.
You'd
be
bitter. Right? You'd be bitter.
I would.
And
a bitterness
from...
There's
so many cool cars and even close friends that we didn't and couldn't let in.
And I think the bitterness for me would come from my desire to do it. And the higher my desire to do it, the more the bitterness would be apparent. I mean, there's some social media stuff that was made that were F these guys, this is before
the second
wave even went out. People were like, I didn't get in. I'm like, well... Yeah, now, with that attitude, I'm glad you didn't. It's just...
Right. But what I want to say is, we don't take any of it lightly, I think is the point I want to get across.
I mean, it was...
We're so, I think, honored. Humbled is the wrong word. But we're honored that people want to be a part of what we built here. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting in a ton of work. It's not something we just threw together. And
than a full-time job. I must have...
It is.
I'm easily 30 hours a week. A week,
well,
all year.
That's not a full-time job, Chris. That is not a full-time job.
Well, it almost is. I think you're supposed to get
this is more than a part-time job.
What time do you... How many hours a week do you have to work to get benefits? 32?
I think it depends on the company, but 32 is usually
okay, so
0.8,
it's a 32.
They call it.
And I don't get any benefits.
No.
I don't have health
insurance.
Neither
do I. Yeah. No. Only benefits I get are Chris yelling at me when it's 2 a.m. when... Did that email go out yet? Why didn't you do that? That's you for some reason.
Is that what I sound like?
Voice. No.
It sounds like a Muppet.
Yes. You would be the most angry Muppet. Isn't there the dude that has the eyebrows and no eyes and he's just grumpy?
Isn't that Oscar the Grouch?
No, there's like a you know how some Muppets are people looking, not like
monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of look more like aliens or anything.
Anyways, we don't take it lightly. It really sucks. Like,
do you want
to read the email that we had to send out?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll read
Let me find it here. Cause that'll, I mean,
that was, so I usually write most of the content that has to do with anything we do. So I write the emails, I write what goes on the website. I write things. That's what I do. And half the time I write things that are really good and you guys water it down a little bit. And that's okay. sometimes there's some profanity in what I write and you guys are
Get profanity or get way too like verbose and flowery. And I'm like, I know you're genuine when you write it and mean it, but most people seeing that in an email would be like, this is over the top and they don't mean it. So yeah, yes,
but I do. Anyway, so I tried to write this email.
You couldn't. Yeah.
And I wrote it like four times and I couldn't figure it out. So I just wrote a really shitty version and then sent it to you and Jeff to figure out.
And
so
then Jeff rewrote it. And then I actually
added
and rewrote it a little bit more. You want me to actually just read it? Is this a benefit to anyone?
How long is this?
It's not long. Three paragraphs.
Yeah, go ahead.
So subject line, it's not no. It's just not this time. We know this isn't the email you wanted to get, and it definitely isn't the one we wanted to send. The Overcast Rally is full, and we simply can't take any more people with us this year. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your interest and support, truly. Reading through everyone's stories and hearing the passion for driving made us so excited. We wish we could let everyone in, but we just can't. It sucks. The towns are too small, and the roads are too few.
Stop. We don't need to read this. Here's the concept.
No, okay? The last thing. Here's what I'm going to say. We would love to open the rally up to 500 cars, but that would turn the Overcast Rally into something else. It becomes something you wouldn't apply to attend to in the first place.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what it comes down to, is like everybody wants
there. Hope you understand. Don't hold it against us. We're not trying to be assholes. Honestly,
we
struggled with it. Like, we feel really bad.
Here's the deal. It's really important to me that the rally doesn't change. Right. I want it to be the same thing that it was in the Minnesota Mississippi River Valley.
Right.
I want it to feel the same as it did in Utah. And that means it's capped. It just is. You start letting 200 cars, 150 cars in, it becomes something that nobody would have applied for in the first place. It becomes not the Overcrest Rally. So that's generally the reason. Other reasons cars didn't get in, they're too new, they're too fast. A lot of like really new cars. It's just not the vibe that we're going for. Maybe your essay was not very good. Like if you wrote like,
or you just didn't care. Like some people didn't seem to care that much to put in the effort to the essay.
Yeah,
and that's why we say
is really
like
important.
The essay does matter.
I mean, yeah, there's guys that wrote like four paragraphs of like why driving matters to
more
me.
More than that,
and
for
it,
sure.
So
yeah.
It's if you wrote like I think it would be cool, and someone else wrote like a four paragraph essay about why they want to come in. There you go. That
and it's not
that.
Like this is. I don't know, we're not trying to put you through. I don't know, like writing school again. And
yeah, we are.
Write an essay for the heck of it. It's just we want to know. Like we want to get to the bottom of how passionate you are about it. We want the right people there, because someone who's just like, oh, it's my first rally. This looked cool. I don't want them as much as someone who's like.
I kind of do want that guy though. I want that guy that it's his first rally. I want to fuck that guy's life perspective up.
Bottom line, we can move on after this. Bottom line, we realize it sucks if you didn't get in, and we were overwhelmed with the amount of interest this year. And
thank you. And we've got something coming.
Thank you.
Like especially if you're from the Pacific Northwest and you didn't get in, don't worry. We got something that's going
to
be.
We're trying to make this as accessible as possible for people and inclusive.
Yeah, we got something coming. That's all I'll say. So, we've got something coming for you that you'll be able to come hang out with on the rally.
So I feel kind of like a relief now that registration is over.
Me too.
It sucks, right? And people are upset and people are excited or people, whatever. Follow along. Don't hold it against us.
Please don't. Please apply next year.
Yeah. You know, and one thing I want. You're right. To your point about like, oh, it's my first rally. I want different people to experience this. I don't want it to be the same group of people every year, because then no one else can experience it.
Right. Yeah, there's some veterans that of rally that didn't make it.
Next year, we want to see new faces and the same vibe and keep it going. So,
yep. All right,
that's that.
Jake, look.
Yes.
Look at my camera. What have you got here? That is a golf R. Did you know?
What year is that? How long
have
you had that?
That is a 2019 Golf R. I've had it for almost 2 years. I've put, or between Jesse and I, this is what Jesse mainly drives. I don't drive this car very much.
That's the only newer reliable car. Well, not reliable. That's the only newer car you have, basically.
It is the only newer car that we have.
I was going to say reliable, but any of your Mercedes are much more reliable than that thing.
Honestly, the diesel probably is. All right, so the 2015 to 2021, they made this car. So they made...
Did they make it every year? Okay.
Yeah, 2015.
That bugs me a little bit, and I'll tell you why.
It's kind of a rare car.
What number you think is rare.
Okay, so what number do you think makes a car rare?
Well, here's what I compare it to and why... The Golf R is a great car. I know it's fast, it's practical, it's small enough, it's the right size, but here's my problem with it. I was a huge, huge fan. My dream car for the longest time was the Mark IV R32, mm-hmm.
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I had that car, and I loved it. And that they made for 1 year at the end of the generation, 2004, and they put the VR6 in it. It was all-wheel drive. Like, that was a very special car in the model lineup, and they made 5,000 exactly. That was it. And then they didn't do anything.
How many years did they make it for?
4 years.
How many years did they make it
for? 1 year.
They made the Mark IV R32 for 1 year. At no point in 1 year did they make 5,000 Golf Rs. At no point in 1 year. They had open for more years.
But here's my point, right. And then in 2008, they didn't do an R until 2008 at the end of the Mark V lineup.
Yeah, and that thing sucked.
R32 for 5 years.
Well, and that was a DSG only.
Had a manual. Yeah.
Why do you think they did that? Why did they do DSG only? Were they trying to that was relatively new technology with the Mark V, the DSG.
In the time frame, it was very cool to have paddle shifters, right? Mm-hmm. And these are real paddle shifters. And it's a DSG. It's a dual
clutch.
What is
it? What define real paddle shifters? What's not
Tiptronic? Tiptronic is not a real paddle shifter. It's an automatic transmission that is electronically actuated. A DSG.
Do you have paddles with Tiptronics?
Yes.
Who has a paddle? Who does that?
Porsche.
Audi. Porsche. Yeah. Audi.
My Cayenne has that. So that, I think, is the difference. And that's why they thought it was cool at the time. And then they realized their error because they didn't know their market.
Right.
But that's why I feel like the Golf R, as great as it is, it's not that I don't like it. I like it. But it doesn't live up to my perception of what a Volkswagen R car should be. Because it doesn't
have a
VR6.
What if it was a VR6 manual?
100%.
Then it would live up to it.
100% would match up to it. Although, I wouldn't want them to make it every year. I would still want it to be more rare or exclusive, if that makes sense.
So, you want it to be more like the Porsche model, where everything is, you can't have it because they didn't make enough of them, rather than just selling the great car to whoever wants the great car.
I know. I don't like that on principle, but somehow I do like the exclusivity of it.
Why?
You can't have it both ways.
If you can sell more cool cars to people, why not sell the cool cars to people?
Because in my mind, it's not as cool then if everyone else has one. That's a pretty common perception. And I understand it as a business model. I hate it because I don't like the Ferrari mantra of if 500 people want to buy this car, we're going to make
it's a hype beast thing. That's what, Porsche has become a hype beast company.
Right. I don't like that on its face, but I do get the idea if I have it and they're rare, it's cool to have it.
Yeah,
right?
I hate that. I hate that attitude.
But what if
we're very polarized on this? That's for sure.
I know. But even your old 911, Long Hood 911, what if every guy that drives a Civic right now, and that's their cool car, had an old 911? They would not be as unique.
Dude, it's not even more than 911 than they did the Golf R.
Okay, so yeah, that's where we started. How many of those did they make?
They've made 16,000 total.
Okay. Over 2015
5 to 6 years.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's more than you'll see Mark R32s, but over a time period.
I mean, they made how many 911s did they make?
We've done this before.
I know, but let's say
over what time period?
Okay, this is 992 time period.
Year?
So how many 992 Porsche 911s were made? Porsche 992.
1600 year.
This is not. Well, there's 23 new models being listed.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't. Porsche sales here, production.
What you do
numbers.
Is you go to Porsche 911 on Wikipedia, and then it'll show you production.
Okay, here we go. 20, dude. Okay, Porsche sales. These are global numbers. This isn't going to help me. Maybe I need to put production numbers. 992, 911 production numbers.
Yeah.
Production numbers by year. Sure, I'll take that.
Yep. Over okay. or under 1,600 per year. Probably more.
More. Well, it's around 2,500 per year.
In the U.S. only?
It's got to be way more than that. There's so many more dumbasses running around in new 911s than...
Regardless. Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
It's around 10,000.
It's not a common...
Okay, here we go. 2018. Why do they list it out by month? Just, what are you doing?
Oh, so that's how they get the numbers.
Yeah, but I don't need that granular of data.
Add 12 numbers together.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, probably around 10 to 15,000 911s per year. Per year. Okay.
Really?
Golf R, 1,000 to 2,000 per year.
Yeah.
Way rarer than a 911. You'll see a 911 tooling around with somebody with like big sunglasses that are too big for their face that are super tinted. Yeah. You know,
but
that's.
And you here's why they didn't sell or make as many of them is because they were very expensive for the segment, right? Like you
what
compare
the
Golf R new to what are you cross shopping that with? A WRX maybe?
2019 Golf MSRP starting at $41,000.
Yep.
All right.
WRX was probably 30. I think that's the best direct comparison.
37 for an STI.
Okay.
I mean,
well, that's an
I mean,
STI.
Come on. Okay. So Focus.
An STI would blow the doors off that.
In what way? Oh, Focus?
No.
Did you say Focus?
STI.
In what way?
Power, performance.
Yeah,
not fit to finish.
From the reviews that I saw, it's kind of like, what are you after?
Exactly.
Like, what kind of dynamics do you want?
Correct.
If
you put that thing on an autocross or something with
Ford
an
Focus
STI.
RS, $41,000. I think it's all these elite
all
hot
right
hatches are kind of like
right.
But
right
in that.
I think the other thing, too, is like, yeah, people aren't buying that when you could cross that shop that with a entered sports car name here. You know what I mean? If that's what you're looking for.
I guess
the segment of people that want a family car that is a sports car, I think, is actually quite small that are willing to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think the hot hatch is a unique market too, in general.
Well, yeah, and then it got watered down by the hot mini SUV.
Oh, true that. The hot crossover.
Yep, the hot crossover.
Hot crossover.
As Joel Fetter would say, my big hot hatch, the Macan Turbo.
Yep. No.
I do like that car. Have you driven that? You should
drive
that.
Jesse wants me to back the Porsche out of the garage for her. No, I will not do that. You can do it.
Where is it?
It's next to the Golf.
Oh, okay. So are we going to hear lots of noise?
No, you probably won't. So what's funny is some people are like, wow, your Mercedes sounds really good when you started it up on the podcast. But I inserted the sound of a Matra V12 starting up.
Are you kidding? I didn't listen to it.
Because
yeah, at so the time, you couldn't
that,
hear it. You couldn't
anybody
hear
anybody that
it.
Sounds,
oh my
thinks
God,
that the Mercedes sounds
I forgot
amazing.
About that.
Yeah, it's yeah. Actual Matra V12.
That's really funny. Jesus. Oh my God.
So
okay,
have you been working on any projects? Because I came over to your house yesterday or the day before yesterday. I don't even know.
Yeah, and 2 days ago.
Rather than working on your 951.
Dude.
You
yeah.
went to the store and bought wood to do a deck instead.
Yep.
What
was trying to figure this
you,
out
dude?
With Nikki. I don't know. I was trying to figure this out with Nikki. I've been really stressed with lots of different projects we're working on and things going on. And this last weekend, we had no plans, nothing planned. And yeah. I think it was this mindset of great, I have time, but I'm in like manic mode where I need to just continue to keep doing things because that's been my baseline. So I was looking at the deck. Oh, some boards are rotting and pulling through. I'm going to go do that. I'll do that real quick. That'll be great. Let's do that this weekend. Let's redo the deck. Replace
dude,
the boards.
All you need to
in.
Do is
you're
like,
go. Let's do it. Okay. So I'm going to go do that. But then I got there and I got all the lumber and I put it on there and we got that far. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm done. Like
So the lumber is still leaning on your deck right now.
No, I pulled it up on the deck and I want to get the boards replaced this week. before
Dude, here's
Road
the deal.
America.
Jake.
What? I don't know. It's
listen
you know
to
what
me.
This is?
Listen.
This is classic ADD.
I understand.
This is classic ADD.
Listen to me. You have money.
Uh-huh.
Just pay someone to fix the deck and then spend the time working on the car. That thinks like the thing you want.
Here's the other thing.
Just
I don't
dude,
like working on that
out.
Car
Just hire
anymore.
A guy, dude. You have money. Just hire a guy to do the deck. Just hire someone.
And then I'll hire you to come over and just finish the 951. It's so stupid close. You looked at it.
I refuse to get paid to work on anybody else's car. This happens a lot. I get messages.
Oh, really?
They're like, hey, man. Yeah. Someone, when I finished that red Mercedes and got that, dragged it out and got it going, the guy that sold it to me or for, you know, I think nothing. It was free. Yeah, that was free. I think I sold it for $2,200. Not that one was not worth the flip. Anyway, so he sent me a message. Hey, I've got like a 280 SL, which is like a $120,000 car, I think. Do you want to get it running and fix it and restore it for me? And I
why not?
No, I don't want to be responsible
why not?
For that because I'm a total fuck up.
Yeah, you're not
a
professional
shop.
Mechanic,
I don't have
right?
insurance. I'm not going to be responsible for that type of thing.
Okay,
there's no
but
way.
Like, hobbyist.
I'm also not finishing your 951.
Okay,
I'm not going
to blame you there.
I also don't want to do it. I don't. One, dude, you want to know something hilarious? So, do you remember when I was telling you about the guy with the 944 at the gas station that pulled up to the gas station, got out of his car, and walked over to me and goes, love your 911, wish it was perfect 50-50 weight balance like my 944, and then he's sticking his thumb over his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember this?
I know this happened to you, but it's like a meme.
To me.
Like this is a stereotype that's what 944 guys do because there's this inadequacy, you know, thing.
It's a Napoleon complex is what it's called.
You're right.
That same thing that you
That's
have.
That's the one I was talking about. Actually, I've had a lot of kudos for being a short guy that I don't have a Napoleon complex.
You actually don't, which is nice. Okay, so I was on Threads.
There's plenty of other things you can make fun of me for. Short doesn't bother me.
My dad has a Napoleon complex. It is, and it is ruthless.
Most
he's like
short
a
guys
narcissist
do.
With a Napoleon complex. It is a horrible complex. Okay, so I was on Threads, the new app that is completely terrible. I hate it.
Okay, I do not understand it. But yes,
let's
go ahead.
You can tell me that afterward. I want to try and get through this. 944 Fest apparently is a show that is 944s only.
Okay.
And
do we know where this
is? He posted about his event or whatever. And I said, does this event have 50-50 weight balance? Is what I asked on Threads as just being like coy and funny. And he goes, actually, it's 50.7 to 49.3. And I go, well, every 911 owner knows that. And he goes, not every 911 owner yet. You see, we have this one guy in a brown NA that travels from gas station to gas station waiting by the pumps to enlighten unaware 9/11 passerbys. It is a thankless job, but someone's got to do it. And I go, this has legitimately happened to me. Similar thing happens every time I meet a vegan. It's like, what's the joke? Is how do you know someone's
exactly.
a vegan? If you don't have to know, they'll tell you. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that dude is self-deprecating,
though,
sitting
and joking.
In that guy's driveway.
Yeah.
Is he, though?
Don't do it.
Is he?
Don't
he whipped
do it.
Out its 50.3 to 49.7 making... weight balance instantly.
That's funny.
I think it's funny. I just can't do it. It's like Miata owners. They think it's the best shit ever.
What about them?
And is there any 944 guy in the world that isn't insane or clinically insane or has an IQ less than 80, which is average, by the way, less than 80, that wouldn't trade straight up their 944 for a similar condition?
By the definition of IQ, average is 100. By the definition.
Is it? Okay, so we're still going
we
less
went through
than 80.
This
I think
on
that's
a story
what it would
for
take
some
for somebody
reason.
To not do this.
Okay, yes.
Whatever.
Anyways.
Is there anyone that would... Is there any not insane person that wouldn't trade their 944? Or, well, let's even do this. Let's bring 912 into the picture. Let's bring in 912.
Okay.
Is there anyone that wouldn't trade their 944 or their 912 for a 911?
No, just because of value.
just let's take value out of it. Okay.
I know.
Let's take value out of it. Now, again, would you trade? Like, if, like, come on, guys. This,
yeah, I for
a
sure
944
would.
Is
I hate
fine.
These things. I will say they look
there's
good
a bunch of them in a rally.
Right.
We did let them in. I tried to keep I my know. Bias.
We let
aside.
them in.
Them. Those heathens, those low IQ dunderheads.
Hey, no, I own one. I'm
exactly.
I'm worried
that's
that I'm really gonna like it.
Point.
I'm worried, Chris, that I'm really gonna like it.
So you have a 951. Which
yeah.
with a bigger, do you have a bigger turbo?
Yes.
So you're going to have a zoomy. It's going to have the zoomies, as my kid would say. That's
it's
the thing. That's what
the
all
zoomies.
The kids say is,
yeah.
is your car is going to have
yeah,
the
it's,
zoomies.
It's like, it's lightly modified. It's like, it'll be slightly faster than a Turbo S.
Okay. Kind of cool. But it's still like the fast version of the thing I don't like.
Exactly.
And this comes from
oh,
like,
yeah, no, I'm
I
right there
one,
with you.
I look at one and I go, ooh, boy, those look cool, right? I'm like, man, look at that thing. That looks cool.
It is a cool
I love
looking
the
car.
I love the rear. I love the pop-up
I didn't,
headlights.
I didn't
I love the
always
rear three
like
quarter
them.
View.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I love the view.
Fenders.
I love the like the little plastic spoiler in the back. The little like the rubber spoiler in the back. And I, when you get in,
yeah, yeah. Yep,
and you
yep.
sit in it, the driving uh-huh. position is so yeah. good. I mean, it is so good.
It's pretty good.
And then you it's actually drive it.
And that weight balance.
And you go.
And then that weight balance. there's nothing here.
The thing is, yeah. and there's I love here. Slow car fast, right? I love slow car fast. But here's the thing. It's a, yeah. a it's a Porsche sports car. It should be faster than mm-hmm. it is, man. It should like, and if it's not faster than it is, it should have some characteristic that makes me feel kind of good. Like an old GTI is slow.
I was going to say,
but it's got a close ratio
you're
gearbox and it's high revving and it.
Sure. You're a
you
big
know,
proponent.
It just doesn't
and
have
say
the
you have to look
the
at the car
sparkle.
In the
There's
context
no sparkle to it.
Of its time period. Yeah, but again, look at it in the context of its time period.
I know.
Was it
it's
that
still
slow,
slow
at the time?
What's the
no.
what is like? Hold on. What's the horsepower on a? I got to look this up because I'm not a big. Porsche 944 nerd. So
on a naturally aspirated 944 is
944
like
horsepower. I'm going to guess 130.
170? I think it's 150-ish.
That's 160 horsepower. That's more than I thought it had. But look at this. The turbo, 217 horsepower. That's where it's at.
I didn't hear you. How
Truly.
Much?
217 for the turbo.
Yeah.
217?
How much is the
Why
turbo
Why can't you
S?
Hear me? What's going on?
250 because one of our connections is very poor.
Hold on, I'm gonna pause this and we'll be right back.
Okay, so now that we're back and connected, well, how much horsepower did the stock 944 have? I didn't hear you.
160 horsepower.
Okay, and the turbo was 217. Did you look up the Turbo S?
260.
Okay, so I'll be just over 260 then,
right?
275 ish probably,
right?
280. But I don't know. I still like these cars are such a pain in the ass, dude.
What
I need
what makes them a pain in the ass? This is not man, I can't wait to title this thing Never Buy a 944. Get some
yeah, basically
some clickbait going on.
It's just they okay, everyone is like all about the timing belt and how terrible it is to do the timing belt on this thing because you have to remove like a bunch of stuff and remove the radiator and everything else. Honestly, that job is easy compared to just like everything else is so crammed in these things. And it's a big engine bay, but that yep. was the biggest two cylinder at the time ever made, a 2.5 liter.
Yep.
And there's just so much going on with that car. And there's so many systems they tried to shove in there and everything is 35 years old at this point.
It's all vacuum lines for emissions and everything else too.
Yeah. You saw my yeah. list when you were over and it just
yeah,
said
it's a
vacuum
very short
line
list.
Nightmare.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know. And so here's part of the problem. Is I have, we need to come up with a term, or maybe we have. What is it when you just lose all motivation on a project? Like, project stall.
Here's your problem. You don't have the patience. You need to be able to do something and get the, you need to ring the bell and the little
I need
treat needs
instant
to come out.
Gratification, yes.
You do. I mean, from what I gather from you, you need to be able to be like,
I am good at
you
some
ring the bell,
long-term
the treat
projects.
Comes out, Jake eats the treat. And that's I don't know what the car version of that is, but it's yeah. like you kind of need that.
Well, this thing has been going on for over a year.
Yeah, but so you've had a year and a half with an engine case for a 911 sitting around that you haven't done anything
probably
with.
Probably more than that, too. Yeah,
okay,
that's in the
2 years, because you want to build a short stroke 2.5 or whatever you want to do. Okay, why haven't you done anything?
Not a priority.
I was over there yesterday. We could have pulled the case apart. Why not?
Because then I have another thing. Because then I have another thing going on. That's another project.
It's going on.
No, it's not. You have the parts down in the basement. It's tucked away nicely. That's fine. I'm gonna wait. That I won't get to that. Maybe I should take the case apart so that I can send it out to machining, because it will take another year to get back anyways.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Right.
So what are you,
but
like,
guess what? I have no room to do it because my garage is full of 944 crap. So it just finish the damn thing, dude.
Just set aside a day, plug the vacuum lines in, plug the injectors. The car is so close to done. Just get it done. This isn't even one of those cases where the last 5% are the hardest.
It's not. I'm at easy mode now.
It's
just motivation.
Yeah.
I've hit a wall. I need to just take a day off and do nothing but that, and I could get it done.
There you go. Let's do it. Do you want me to come over and help you?
Not this week, because we're stressing to get out to Road America, which we should mention too. We'll recap that next week.
But
our favorite weekend of the year, the Road America Vintage Races.
Well, before we get to, let's talk about Road America too. We can talk about some of my projects next, because I have some stories I could potentially tell. But before we do that, I'm going to drink some pickle juice while you talk about Petrolbox.
So gross. Yeah, Petrolbox, not gross. As you guys know, it's a monthly service made specifically for the automotive enthusiasts.
You know what's kind of weird about this is that you have to drink it through your teeth so you don't get any of like the dill particles or pickle particles.
So disgusting.
So you kind of like suck it through your teeth.
This, I do want to know if people just like, that's what you choose. Like, oh, what do we got? We got soda. We got water. Maybe we got like a Gatorade. No, I'm going to go with pickle juice. Do you save? So clearly there were pickles in there, and then they ate all the pickles, and then you kept the jar full of the pickle juice minus the pickles in the fridge for later?
This
is something you were savoring.
Yes.
Okay, you were savoring. Okay. Well, you know what you can also savor much better than pickle juice is Petrobox, because it is the gift that keeps on giving every single month, because it is a subscription service. Right there to your door, you will get a surprise selection of tools, detailing supplies, apparel, garage gear, stickers, publications, t-shirts, whatever kind of cool gadget that's new that month. It's a curated selection of the latest, greatest in the industry. There's actually two different levels that you can choose from. You can get the Petrobox Basic, that costs less than $20 a month, and you get the Petrobox Premium, which is $39.95 a month. I'm sorry, we did not jump up in price, which is actually quite impressive that they haven't ever jumped up in price.
That's true.
Check those guys out, mypetrolbox.com. Be sure to use the code Overcrest at checkout. It will get you $6 off. It's a great deal. It's a great box. Makes a great gift. Really enjoy it.
Everything over here runs pretty good right now. Other than the trooper sitting here.
Better knock on that big slab of wood in front of you.
What slab of wood?
What is your counter made of?
Well, it's a machinist bench.
Yeah.
It's wood.
Yeah. And I said you better knock on wood.
Oh. Because
you just said everything is running great.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
I know there's not.
That's all bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. So you were going off about needing to get rid of your carburetors on the 911. And you, I just need to go to EFI. I'm going to go throttle bodies. I'm sick of dealing with it. Says the guy who is all about like period correct. And like, carbs are great. I don't understand why people like get rid of all this.
Do you ever just get frustrated and say shit? Like, do you ever just like say something and not really mean it?
May have like ADD, but I am not as reactionary as you.
I am quite reactionary.
No.
That's true.
Yes.
So I wanted to, I don't know how to talk about this because
you had a hissy fit.
No. Listen.
Okay.
I don't know how to talk about this because the motor in my car is really good.
Yeah.
The engine.
Yeah.
But when I picked the car up, it was not tuned well. Okay.
Okay.
Tuning it had been on the dyno, did, 280 wheel horsepower or whatever, and it ran great at wide open. Well, it ran well at wide open throttle on the dyno. And as you know, what people may not know is tuning for wide open throttle and power with carburetors is very easy.
It's because one thing. It's linear.
It's one thing. Like, you just wide open, maximum, and the fuel that you get at maximum wide open throttle. It's not a progressive, like, it's not a progressive change of a butterfly inside the throttle body where the vacuum and the volume of the air is changing at the same time, creating different pressures and different.
That would be basically a three-dimensional tuning map is what you're talking about there. If we wanted to look at like EFI, it applies to carburetors, right? Because you have a curve for your air versus your fuel. And then you also have, you know, your speed and your volume or your air pressure, right?
Yeah,
and
so, absolutely.
Wide open throttle, it's easy. You just
it's very
get the correct ratio.
And there's all kinds of parts. You've got a main jet. You've got an emulsion tube. You've got an air corrector. You've got an idle jet, which isn't really idle jet is a misnomer. It is a low speed jet.
Correct.
Is what it really should be called.
It pulls it through the transition circuit as well.
Yes. So it did not run well when I picked it up.
Okay.
It didn't return to idle at all. And it didn't have wide open throttle either. So it didn't, you know, go either way all the ways. I don't even know what kind of power it would make now.
Didn't
return to idle, so I had to adjust the linkage. And it was extremely rich. Extremely rich, which means it would never return to idle. It would always, you know, it would creep up, and then it would get into the main circuit, and then it would just run away and come up to like 2,000 RPMs. So then you'd have to put it in gear, you know, hit the brake at the light. You'd have to put it in gear, hit the brake.
Keep it down.
Release the clutch to like bog the engine down to get the idle.
Yep.
It was horrible to drive. Okay.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
It was very frustrating. It did not run well. So then I get home. I drove it all the way across the country like this. Not happy. It's just and horrible fuel economy. Just not good.
Oh, I suppose. You know? Yeah.
And you can run the low speed circuit really, really rich to cover issues with progression circuit. And progression circuit is as you're accelerating, as you're rolling onto the throttle. Into your cruise. So that initial tip in, that's your progression circuit. And that almost always will go lean if you don't tune for it. It will always go lean. The carburetor just is like, oh, more air. What am I doing?
It's the difficult part.
It's hard. It's very hard. Yeah. That's the hardest thing to do is to get your car to accelerate smoothly and then just cruise and then come back to idle. That's the hardest thing. If anybody's like, look how good this thing runs, 280 horsepower. It's fucking awesome. Very easy to tune that. Tuning drivability on carburetors is very, very difficult. There's so many variables. So anyway, I get it home, and I didn't drive the car. I didn't drive it because it was not good to drive. It was not fun to drive. It was very fun to drive at wide open throttle. Right. I mean, it is one hell of a fucking engine. It is.
Did
awesome.
You when you decided you didn't want to drive it because you were frustrated? Did you know it was because carburetors?
Yeah.
You just like, this is the way the motor behaves now?
No. I knew it was the carburetors. Like, I've done this enough and I've had it around enough that I knew. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay. So then I started I wanted to kind of start figuring out what was going on.
Right.
So I started, you know, I assumed, and you know what they say about assuming, you know, it's not a good thing to do. And this was my problem was I assumed a lot. So I assumed
what were your assumptions you were working on?
I assumed that it had the correct emulsion tubes in it.
Okay.
I assumed that the idles were probably close. I assumed that the main jets were probably close.
Were any of these things changed when the motor was rebuilt?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's too long. Okay. I kind of doubt it. Yeah, I kind of doubt it. I think he changed. I think the idle jets were changed. They were made bigger. To be really rich to overcome other issues. So here's what you do, okay? You tune at idle, you tune for what's called lean best.
Right.
Right. So you turn the fuel off slowly, and then the idle will rise. Mm-hmm. And then you drop the idle back down, and then you turn the fuel off a little bit more, and then the idle will rise. And then you turn the idle down, and then you turn the fuel off again, and then the idle drops because there's not enough.
Right.
And you go, okay,
you know,
and then you back off a little
sweet
bit,
spot. Yep.
And that is the sweet spot of your idle. That's where you need to be. That's correct. So then from there, if your progression circuit is too lean and it starts stumbling as you roll into it, Some guys will go, ah, fuck it. And they just throw Richard Idlejet right. in there to yeah. cover up that problem. And that is not correct. The right way to do it. Okay. It causes yeah. shitty fuel economy, causes nope. plug fouling. It causes all kinds mm-hmm. of issues, right? It's just, you don't want to do that. It's no. not what you want to do.
Correct.
And I was frustrated. So I said, okay, I don't know. So I tried all kinds of things. I tried different gas. So here's the thing. Here's what happened. Oh, this is something that happened with Jeff. Do you remember me talking about how I got water in my fuel tank by going to the gas and stop?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
I vaguely ran like shit. I remember it happened to me in Indy. Yeah.
Yeah. Except that's not what happened. And I know this now looking back.
Okay. Okay.
That isn't
Tell
what,
me
happened.
What happened.
All right. So I go to the gas station to get race fuel. And I put race fuel in the car and I'm driving around a little bit. All of a sudden it goes from going, what, to just, it sounds like a VR6 almost, where it's like,
right. It is, yeah, not linear.
And you're like, okay, obviously. And it is the same thing that happened. What's ironic is it happened at that gas and stop right away. And then the same thing happened shortly after I left the gas station. And I left the gas station, and the first thing I did is I just fucking railed that throttle. I'm like, I
hammer
want
down.
To know what.
Yeah.
Hammer down. This is great. Got race gas. And it did the same thing again. I'm like, great. I got water in my gas tank again.
That's what great. You're thinking.
It's
yeah.
because I'm the first guy to the race gas, and there was water
the
in there
or something.
Mixed with kerosene
sure.
or whatever the case may be. So I drained it all out, and I run it on my lawnmower now.
That's
my lawnmower
right.
smells awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
so but that's not what actually happened.
Okay, so then I put different fuel in, and yep. it still kind of runs shitty. And I'm like, what, you know, what's going on? And I started fiddling with the carburetors, doing different jets, and like tuning, and like, and it just nonstop. I can never get it right. And I'm like, sometimes mm-hmm. it runs good, runs perfect, and sometimes it runs really bad. Mm-hmm. And I go, and I'm like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to start from scratch. So I take the air cleaners off and I start.
I did
scratch.
Hear that, by the way.
Yeah, that's, you can hear that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, what is one thing you do from scratch right away? Before you even touch the idle jets, before you even, the first thing you
timing.
Do.
Timing. Don't even
yes,
deal
timing,
with fueling.
Yes, timing's fine.
Okay.
Timing's correct.
Yeah.
With the carburetors, but the first thing you do is.
Disconnect everything.
Disconnect everything. Well,
so they're running independently.
First of all, you sync the carburetors is what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
I go. These carburetors aren't in sync. So first of all, I sync the idle.
Yep.
I take the bars off, the linkages.
Yep.
So each carburetor is completely disconnected from the other one, and you
correct.
Adjust the idle so that they're
yep.
so that they're synced. And then you hook the throttle bars back up. You rev it up to 3,000, and you put the mm-hmm. synchrometer in, which measures how much air is going into the carburetor.
Right.
And you look, and I'm like, wow, these things are really out of sync. So what do you need to do then? You adjust the bars.
Mm.
And I go, wait a second. And I look at the bar, the crossbar.
Right.
There's a bar that goes from one carburetor to the other.
Right.
The bolts are about to fall out of it on one side. So that
okay.
crossbar was rocking back and forth and back
the whole time.
And forth from being, hey, we're in sync sometimes.
Yep.
To,
yep.
Hey, we're out of sync. Hey, we're right. in sync and we're going to run great. Hey, we're out of sync.
Wow.
Okay. So I would have
yeah.
never, ever. Gotten it to run well. Never.
Right. No.
This
yeah.
is I found this out, you know, over the I was driving down to a friend's shop and it took me 3.5 hours to do a 1 hour drive because I was like fucking with
well,
the carburetors.
You were stopping the whole time.
Stopping
sure.
and fixing
yeah.
and stopping and fixing and stopping and fixing. And I finally got it synced right. Okay. So I got it synced right and it still kind of runs bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Now we can start focusing on jetting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had, I don't need to go into jet sizes. Needless to say, the thing was so rich to compensate for being out of sync and for like not returning to it was, everything was disgustingly rich.
Pig
okay,
rich.
It had
yeah.
F11 emulsion tubes in it. Too rich. It had like, it was way too rich. So I got
were
it
they-
home. It
were
kind
they
of ran
consistent across all three
what?
Throttles? You didn't find like one that was different than the other five, did you?
No, nothing like
okay.
that.
Okay. I thought for some reason that was
no,
the
that
case.
Was the that was the Mercedes, which
oh,
we
right.
can talk
That's
about in a second.
Enough.
Got the I got it ran so I'm driving home like an hour and a half later. It's like essentially the thing is being waterboarded by fuel.
Yeah, okay? That's not so good.
So I get all the way home, and I do my lean best thing the next day. I get in. I'm like, wow, I had to go down an entire jet size. And then
because you couldn't get the adjusters.
And then I put different emulsion tubes in, which is an F16. F11 is for a bigger displacement engine than I have. Put F16s in there. Put different air correctors in. Different idle jets. All one change at a time. You change one thing.
As you should.
You change the next thing. You test. Otherwise, you don't know what you did. And this goes, this is a philosophy that goes throughout the whole car. Suspension, brakes.
Should be.
Anything you do.
Correct.
Do one thing. See what happens. And then you can know what you did. Otherwise, you're just... You're just throwing shit at the wall, being like, oh, is it better? One thing at a time. So I did one thing at a time, and it got better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better. And pretty soon, right now, and I had also put 42 millimeter Venturis in there at one time before I left for this place. I took those out too, and I just went completely
back to 38.
I went back to, this is like technically what this car should have based on, there's math for all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Based on port
especially
size,
with PMOs
displacement
and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is, nothing is new here.
Right.
Nothing is
there's
new.
A formula because this has all been done before.
It's all been done. Plus, with any kind of, if you have displacement, Venturi size, throttle body size, you can
RPM.
Kind of go, okay. Yeah. And then RPM.
Yep.
You can do, there's mathematical equations.
Right.
It's not totally black magic. Everybody thinks it's all black magic. It's not totally black magic.
It's just complex, and it's mechanical, right?
Yeah,
it's not
mechanical.
Something you can just tune.
So I went back to all these mathematical equations, and I put it all back to like baseline where you would start.
Sure.
Fucking runs mint.
That's awesome.
It starts up, it idles, it revs up, it returns to idle. All it was just returning, looking at the displacement, looking at my throttle bodies, which are 46 with 38 millimeter chokes, looking at what 9,000 other people have done.
Mm-hmm.
And putting that shit in there, and it just runs. It runs.
That's awesome.
Absolutely fucking perfectly. I think I can probably put the 42 millimeter Venturis back in now.
Yep, and get a little more top end.
Get a little more top end.
What is the moral of the story there? I mean, I know what it is check
don't
your
assume.
Basics, right?
Don't assume. Like, don't assume.
Yeah.
But don't assume anything.
If you had the same problem again, or maybe on a different car, would you now go and like look at linkage? Or how do you apply that, I guess, to the broader...
Don't assume and don't trust anybody. Just trust your intuition and just whatever. Just go with your gut, I guess, is kind of the mentality of it. You know, I've been through more trouble with carburetors than anybody in the world, I think.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't have as much trouble as I do. But I've been in some pretty interesting situations with carburetors that had a casting defect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These had a casting defect. Marco discovered
that.
And that helped a lot, fixing that. So I've had some interesting issues, and then the Mercedes have like this flooding issue that I've had. You know, now everything runs pretty good. The Mercedes runs really nice. You know, it's honestly one of the smoothest running. That thing was too rich too. I jetted down two main jet sizes.
Wow.
And one idle jet size, and it runs really, really good.
That's
runs
awesome.
So that's,
you know,
kinda...
what the best running like project car I have is the old C10, the truck that I drove this weekend.
Well, I hope so. The thing is basically made with sticks and bubble gum.
Dude, it's so dialed in, though.
You open up the hood of that old truck, and
isn't
there's
great?
There's nothing in there. It looks like it was pilfered. There's nothing in the engine compartment.
I know.
Just
one
carburetor.
One carb, one Rochester.
Get rid of that red distributor.
Oh, my God. I ordered, so I wanted HEI ignition just to like that.
What does HEI stand for?
High in something, high HEI.
Excitement.
High electric, high excitement? Is that what it is?
High ignition? Excitement in ignition.
Ignition, okay.
Yeah, it's high. It's not true at all.
No, okay. HEI ignition. I used to know this. Why am I being a... High energy ignition. Yeah, high energy.
I like high excitement.
Yeah.
Higher education institution.
It's a GM, actually. It was designed by GM. And it basically just has like the coil on, and there's no points, and so it's basically you're changing to an electronic ignition on it.
Dude,
that was
I'm
the
so
only like modern
that
thing
that
I've
can't
done
get,
on that.
I can't find Petronics or a way to get rid of the points on the Mercedes. I don't want to run.
See,
points
I don't
on
understand
that thing.
Why that isn't available.
They're not in stock. I've ordered it, and it's on intergalactic back order. And then I call
wow.
them up, and they're kind of honestly the Petronics guy was kind of a douchebag,
really,
which makes me not want to buy anything from them at all.
I've heard some people that like do not like them at all. And I thought that was you actually that I don't like Bertronics.
Them as people. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
I can either swap out. Here's two things I can do.
Okay.
I can either get one of those stupid Bluetooth distributors.
They're expensive.
Or
they're very expensive.
I can get a Hall Sender distributor from a newer version of this engine.
Which is basically like the stock Bertronics that you would put in the old distributor.
Yeah, but
just do that.
It's made with millions of dollars of research and investment from Bosch.
Yes.
Instead of just
but it's
like
a Hall Sensor distributor.
Yes. So I thought
just
I would
do that.
I had one, but it was so crusty and rusty that I didn't feel comfortable using it. So I've got to go on eBay, order one, and just one.
You know what
that's
we should have just as a cool old tool is a distributor curve tuner. Like those big machines that spins it up and you put it on it and it tells you exactly where the curve is on the old distributor. Like, I feel like that's something most shops don't have anymore because no one works on points distributors.
Well, it's not just points, you know,
no,
like
you're right.
You still have
like,
weights and like some
you're right.
of the other.
Yeah. And so you have to tune the weights and stuff. But
yeah,
I want one of those old machines. That'd be really cool.
I don't think I would want to do that. That sounds tedious. That sounds like something I would want to pay somebody to do.
I don't know why. That's what interests me, though. Like that sort of mechanical work. Not putting my 944 back together.
Yeah, that's kind of what
Let's
I'm thinking.
Not do
is that.
That
sounds like
Let's
a...
recurve distributors.
It's got ADD written all
Big
over
time.
It. All right, what else do we... Oh, so we're going to Road America.
That is true. We
Maybe.
Are going to Road America.
Well, we're
Maybe.
Going. I might end up sleeping on the floor of a friend's garage.
I'm also going, but maybe out in Sheboygan.
Yeah, our hotel plans have fallen through.
Well, I just texted the person, and we'll see what the situation is. Oh, nice.
Well, how long have we been doing this? Can we hang up the phone? What do we got here?
Are you bored of me? What, are you bored of me already?
I'm a little bored
of
you.
All right. I guess
Where
we can
was
call
something
it.
Else we were going to talk about, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
what
you
it was.
Said you wanted to talk about news.
Oh yeah, I do have a couple news things I wanted to mention. you tell me which one of these you want to talk about. Okay.
Okay.
I'll go through these headlines, and you tell me. I got to back. Okay. We can talk about. Hold on. I started typing.
Holding.
In. How Toyota plans to become an electric car leader. We can talk about Governor DeSantis signing a bill to ban direct to consumer car sales. The Ford CEO saying the Tesla Cybertruck isn't even a real pickup truck for real people. The new Rivian R2.
Ooh, an R2, huh?
R2. FedEx is accused of the largest odometer rollback fraud in history. That's the ones I've got. That's what I've got.
Okay,
what do you want?
I'm curious about this FedEx deal. That seems pretty spicy.
All right. The lawsuit accuses FedEx of replacing the odometers in many of its vans with new ones that read 0 miles, using the vans for a bit longer after that, and then selling them at an auction with 100,000 miles or less on the new odometers. With such low indicated mileage, business owners were buying the vans for top dollar, thinking they were pretty fresh.
Yeah.
However, their real mileage was sometimes as much as 4 times the odometer readout, thus leading to countless mechanical issues that would cost the customers far more money. In some
and
cases,
you
the
don't
issues
really
would be...
know. You would just be like, wow, I guess it had hard miles for 100,000.
Hard life. Man, this thing was driving around Minneapolis for sure. In some cases, the issues would be so severe, the vans were useless, and businesses went bust.
Really?
According to KTNV Las Vegas, Tom Layton of Henderson, Nevada, first noticed FedEx's odometer rollbacks in 2017. Layton, who's been buying and selling trucks and vans for 36 years, bought a FedEx Freightliner truck with around 180,000 indicated miles, which on a Freightliner would be not much.
Yeah, no.
When he sold the truck, his buyer hooked it up to a computer that told him the real mileage was around 400,000 miles.
Wait, okay. So there, it's in the ECU, it's stored.
Layton filed his own lawsuit back then, which is separate from the class action lawsuit FedEx is currently facing. Since then, customers from California, Tennessee, New Jersey, Florida, and Virginia have all noticed odometer rollbacks on former FedEx vehicles. I'm trying to find like their response.
Right.
FedEx
like,
denies
this...
the allegations. They deny it.
Well, was this just like a one-off, like one shop or whatever that FedEx uses was doing this when they sent them to auction? Or is this like, was this a policy? You know what I mean?
Was this
across the board?
Listen, FedEx didn't always sell its retired vans. Once they hit about 350,000 miles, they would usually scrap them. It wasn't until 2011 that FedEx started auctioning old vans off through its fleet company. Holman Fleet Leasing, also a defendant in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
The lawsuit alleges both FedEx and Holman intentionally replaced the odometers to artificially inflate the value of the vans so they'd sell for higher prices at various auctions. So here's the deal. There's no way. So if this is their leasing company, FedEx's leasing company, they own it probably. It's a subsidiary that they use to protect themselves, maybe. This didn't go all the way up to the CEO of FedEx going, roll back those odometers.
It's this third party leasing, it's like, we can pad our a bit.
Just to pad their numbers because they wanted to look good to FedEx, with the knowledge of and assistance of Holman, replaced thousands of odometers on FedEx Holman vehicles, the lawsuit states. Though odometers, as automotive components, do occasionally wear out or malfunction and need to be replaced, there was no valid reason for this large scale replacement of odometers.
No.
It isn't illegal to replace them or even illegal to sell odometers with that are inaccurate, but you must disclose it, the lawsuit says. Quote, defendants purposely failed or refused to attach such a warning because they intended to mislead potential buyers of the vehicles. However, FedEx denies the allegations. Quote, we are aware of the allegations made in the complaint and will vigorously defend the lawsuit, says FedEx.
Wow.
Yes. This really makes me angry. I don't like this. Governor DeSantis signs bill to ban direct-to-consumer
car sales. I do want to hear about that, because that used to be just across the board a thing, that you could not sell direct-to-consumer.
Why not?
Right. Because
I
know.
Salesmen get car dealership across Florida can rejoice in a bill Governor Ron, or as Trump would say, Ron DeSanctimonious, signed into law that bans most direct-to-consumer auto sales. Under the law, it bars automakers from selling their vehicle directly to the buyer. FADA, the FADA, Florida Automobile Dealers Association, gave a lot of money to Florida's government and paid off all these people and as a major advocate for the bill, stating it protects dealerships
lobbyists. That's how it works. Yeah.
It's 100% lobbying. The bill also restricts none of that was actually said, though. That was me.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Also restricts manufacturers from requiring dealers to sell or lease a car at a specified rate. Additionally, refusing to provide a dealer with a supply of new vehicles by model, blah, 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 is also banned. So your dealer must be given cars by the manufacturer. It also forbids the requirement that dealers set the vehicle price at rates manufacturers recommend.
They can set whatever they want. So the over retail dealer padding, that's brutal. Fine.
This is
So Tesla, I think, was one of the first to say, like, no, we're selling direct to consumer. There is no Tesla dealership network.
On that note, lobbyists and lawmakers were able to work out a deal that allows electric vehicle companies like Tesla, Rivian, and Lucid to hold franchise dealer license for direct sales of EVs if they are not otherwise prohibited under federal law. DeSantis also signed a record state budget that prioritizes transportation infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. Great.
Yeah, well, doesn't make any sense.
How great would it be if you could just go on Ford's website, pick the car, just go doot, 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 pay the money, and the car is just delivered.
Careful. That's exactly what Tesla does.
That's what I want.
I know.
That's what I don't want to go to a dealer.
People love that.
I don't want to go to a dealer. I don't want to deal with a salesman. I don't want to go to the loan office.
The only reason you would want to go to a dealer is just to test drive, right? What is the vehicle I actually want? Sure. That should be what the third party model is. Everyone buys their car online, just like Amazon.
Yep.
And then there's these third parties that just have a fleet of one of everything. It's a used car dealer. And you pay them maybe a one-time fee to test drive all of them. That's how they make money.
Maybe. What would
Or they can buy it online or something. You know what I mean? Like,
people would reject that, I think.
Oh, big time. Huge loss of revenue on multiple levels. But like, you still want to test drive the cars, so there should just be a place that isn't even a car dealership where you just go pay a fee.
I don't know that
test drive everything.
I don't think people would want to pay to.
Well, there has to be some way that they make money off of doing that. But
that's what the franchise thing is for. You just go there and test drive it there.
But I'm also thinking most people.
If the business owner of the dealership that is selling or whatever wants to sell cars, they're going to allow test drives. So people don't want to test drive, then they can just buy the car. Well, give me the choice. Give me the choice.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is, I have one more thing before we sign off.
I got another one.
Okay. Well, let me go first. So the reason, though, I don't like the idea of like going from dealer to dealer to test drive every car. My mom is looking for a new small SUV And she's like, what should I look at? So I gave her like a list of all these cars to look at. And my dad went with her and they made it to like one or two dealerships and they were just kind of fed up with the process, right?
Oh, it's terrible.
Smarmy salesmen, or they're not helping at all, or like the process.
Why do you think people
everywhere.
Live within one brand all their lives?
Exactly, because they don't want to deal with all this. And I was like, but that is the way you should do it. I always recommend go test drive a bunch of stuff so you actually know what you want.
Regular people do not want to spend that much time.
It sucks. Yes, exactly. So that's why I'm saying, wouldn't it be cool if
too big to fail,
one spot?
Too big to fail.
I know. But think about it. As like a consumer, you go to one place. You're saying, I want a small SUV. Okay, what's your price range? Okay, hey, look, these five cars in that corner are what is in your price range that you should look at. Go test drive those.
What about like a car dealership, like mega building, where it's
right.
Jeep,
that's what
Chrysler,
it would
GM,
be.
Volkswagen. It's just like this
mega building.
But those
are all
different
makes. Yeah, you can't. I mean, there's auto malls where they're all next to each other.
Yeah, but those
but
are
it's still
yeah.
a pain in the butt.
It
right?
is. Because they don't want you to leave, man. So they're like,
oh,
hey,
gosh,
like, oh, it's brutal.
So okay. the reason though, that she's looking for a new vehicle is she has a, what is it, a Jeep. I have to find the recall that she got. Did I send you this recall notice?
No.
It is so terrible and so funny. So why don't you tell me your next story while I find this?
Okay. Or this is for rally goers and and happy Oregonians. Oregonians?
Oh,
Oregonians.
Okay.
Oregon Not House sure. votes to let Oregonians to pump their own gas.
Heck yeah.
A similar proposal died last year after the state fire marshal argued it would be too expensive. How is that?
Why is it expensive?
Why is it too expensive?
How is there any cost?
The Oregon House on Monday overwhelmingly approved. So I posted about this on social and I was like, hey, rally goers, this is great. You guys don't have to deal with all this bullshit that I dealt with when I was out there having to like fend people off with a stick. So I could pump my own diesel fuel. I got so many messages like, well, people are going to lose their jobs. People are going to lose their jobs. I'm like,
so
come on,
you're
man.
Paying someone just to sit there and pump. I know they do have gas
they
station
that.
Attendants that
it's
do that.
Part of
I know it's
part of the cost. But here's, right. I think what it is that now you have to offer, you are still required to offer the full service option, but people can also pump their own gas.
Yes.
So you're still have nobody's losing their job. You still have to have the guy, but now
you'll
the guy
have the attendant
is
and now just sitting there on a stool.
He's just
doing
sitting
nothing.
There getting paid.
Great. So now they're going to go out of business because they have to pay this guy to do nothing.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Stations in Oregon's most populous counties would still be required to employ at least one attendant and charge the same amount for gas from full service pumps as they do for self serve. So this like it's so
makes no
mandated
sense.
And regulated. It's just ridiculous.
That's very weird.
The cost of gas in Oregon when you drive from like Boise to Oregon is like ridiculous.
Oh, so that is built into the cost.
Yeah, of course it is. Nobody's
well,
doing
I
this
don't
for
know.
Free.
No, I know, but I didn't know how it's like if it's that significant that you can see it. So then will you pay less for self-service? Will it be
no,
like a fee?
No, they're saying you can't. They're saying
okay,
that you
that's
can't
that's what
pay.
They're saying. Got
yeah,
it.
You have to charge the same. But
wow.
Why?
Yeah, I would still want to do it myself regardless.
Well, I would like the I think it's nice to have the option for people like when I grew up in where I grew up in Wisconsin, there was like a couple old school gas stations that had
yeah,
the side
you drive over the
service.
Thing and it goes
ding ding.
Yep.
And it's great yeah. for like, I
the
think it's great
elderly
for if you're nicely dressed that day.
Sure.
It's great for women that don't want to get out in their nice dresses or whatever.
Sure.
And
okay.
handle diesel pumps, gas pumps, whatever.
Ugh.
It's great
yeah.
for the elderly.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. I don't need it. Give me the choice.
Right.
Again.
Exactly.
Again. Choice.
Because
Let
guess
me
what?
Choose.
Especially pull up in your 911, the 72 1 year only, and they're going to start filling up your oil
oh,
tank
yeah.
like they all
exactly.
did back in the 70s.
Exactly.
That's
State
what's going to happen.
State law currently states that pumping your own gas can subject drivers to a variety of dangers.
Oh, no.
Including.
The scare tactics.
Including fumes. We only want those gas station attendants that don't even have
yeah,
citizenship
only they
to have the fumes.
Can
right?
die.
We want the guy from right. like I don't know, Panama. That's the dude that needs the fumes, not me. Not little old like middle class housewife uh-huh. me. I want all those immigrants to smoke the fumes up. Slick surfaces. I only want the Mexicans to slip and
slick
fall.
Slick surfaces.
Yeah,
okay.
I only want those guys
these are
to
the
slip
dangers.
And fall.
Okay,
yeah.
continue.
I only want fumes and slick surfaces to my immigrant
what,
friend.
Don't you it's, okay.
Dude,
we don't need to be
it's bullshit.
Oh, a big time.
It's such a like how elitist and arrogant is that? That I only want these people that are being paid minimum wage to experience this.
No, it's me. Interesting.
I won't do it. I can't be bothered. Yeah. Come on. All right. And leaving children unattended.
How? You're right there.
I don't know, dude. It's just what it says.
Okay.
Running afoul of the rule, can result in a $500 fine. And the state has long bucked protestations by gas station owners and many residents that the requirement is outmoded.
Wow.
As explained by gas station owners, finding employees to pump gas is extremely hard because nobody wants to breathe fumes and slip and fall down, apparently. And even impossible in some cases, which makes it impossible to keep gas stations open and operating. This relieves the pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. This goes on and on. This is, see if there's anything else interesting in here. Blah, blah, blah. Minimal fiscal impact, blah, blah, blah. Great. Awesome.
Okay.
So you can pump your own gas on the rally. It's awesome. It's great.
That is actually very good because it goes into effect immediately. Like it's already in effect. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. So
now everybody, even the middle class and rich, will inhale fumes and have slip to and fall down.
Slip and fall. And yes.
And inhale gas fumes. Just like terrible. all the ditch diggers.
Absolutely terrible. So
ridiculous.
All right. So as I alluded to, my mom is looking for a new vehicle. She currently has a 2015 Jeep Cherokee, not the Grand Cherokee. So the Cherokee is like the small SUV and it's the Trailhawk. So it's the cool off-road looking one. But I'm going to read to you just the highlights of this recall that they received. Okay. Mm-hmm. So an electrical short in the power liftgate module may lead to a vehicle fire with the ignition on or off.
No.
You don't have to have the car running or anything, okay?
Just shorts out.
So,
just like the wiring behind my mirror in the bathroom. Got it.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, so you have to bring it in to get it fixed, right? Like they're going to fix it for you.
Yes.
No. And a remedy for this condition is not currently available.
Oh.
Well, then what do they expect you to do, Chris? Well, customers are advised, listen to this, customers are advised to not park these vehicles inside of buildings or structures or near any other vehicle.
So just park it in your backyard, right in the middle of the yard.
What are you, right? What are you supposed to do? Well, that's literally an official recall from
a Chevy Bolt or something. That's also what you're supposed to do. You can't park electric vehicles inside.
Okay, so you can't park them inside, but then you can't park them in a parking lot, which is by other cars.
Nope.
So what, like literally, go find a field, park it in the middle of it, don't drive it, forget about it.
So dumb.
And by the way, we don't have a fix for it.
The fix would be just to remove the switch and cap off the wires.
Probably.
And
then,
you know what the actual switch is? The fix? It's just have a manual tailgate.
Exactly.
Hello?
But no vehicle has that anymore because it's another...
I wanted to mention this. I think this is interesting.
It's another feature that has become now... quote unquote mandatory or expected, right?
It is just because it's expected. So this is, I'll make this short, but Toyota has new batteries coming out. This is interesting.
Okay.
Next generation lithium ion batteries due in 2026. So like 2 years, 2.5
around
years.
Around the corner. Yeah.
Good for 1,000 kilometers, 600 miles.
On a charge, you're saying?
Yeah. 600 miles on a charge and will charge from 10% to 80% in 20 minutes.
Wow.
The next step from there that they're saying is, 1,500 kilometers solid state batteries are coming.
Wow.
It's a pretty big deal.
That is a pretty big deal.
1,000.
It's funny.
600. That's 600 miles. 600 miles and 900 miles, respectively.
That's huge.
That's more than anybody gets out of their gasoline car.
Gas vehicle. No, for
nobody gets that. Everybody gets like, what, 300 miles?
400. 300 or 400, depending on how big your tank is. Yeah.
250 to 350, depending.
I was going to say, it's funny because I had ran this. I thought this recall was so ridiculous, so I sent it to our friend Joel Fetter. And he said two things. He goes, one, you will not believe how common that sort of stuff is because the lawyers need to basically cover their ass, right? So they're making it very dramatic sounding because then if something does happen, they can say, well, we told you, you can't drive it. We told you to park it out in the middle of the field. But the other thing he said is, you know, thank goodness for electric vehicles because a lot of these problems won't be around. At the same time, it's a double-edged sword. Because now everything is electronic and you have all these new systems to deal with. So sure, you're going to have the range of 600 miles and no gas engine that needs a recall, but you're also going to have all these systems that also will break because now everything's automated and nothing's simple.
It's new. I mean, we'll see where things go. I still don't feel like I want an electric car yet. I don't feel like I'm there.
I don't either. And it's going to be interesting. No.
Nothing out there. What about this Rivian R2?
What is that? I don't know what that is yet. Is that their smaller? version?
Yeah, it's like a smaller little SUV thing. It looks cool.
I could see that being cool.
They have revealed exciting details, blah, blah, blah. Launched earlier than expected. The highly anticipated unveiling is scheduled for early 2024. No one will be able to order one for like 25 years. Probably.
It looks similar. I assume it's just smaller. Starts at 40.
It's targeted to be 40 grand. That's what kind of excites me about it. Because 40 to 60 grand, obviously you'll be able to. I wouldn't want the 40 grand one, probably because it's just going to be like.
Oh, it's going to be total. Yeah.
Dumb.
Base model, everything. But this is what we've asked for. We've asked for simpler electric cars.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be simpler. I don't really know anything about this, but the price, price coming down, because I think an R1 is like $75,000. They're super expensive. And of course, this one here has got a rooftop tent. Are those fuel tanks on the top? What are those on the top on this picture?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. No, they're just duffel bags.
Duffel bags. All right. On that note, guys, that's it. Next week, I don't know what's going on next week.
Well, all I know is if you have a 2015 Jeep, don't drive it. Park it in a field.
Park it in a field. All right, guys, we will see you next Tuesday.
All right, take care.